Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live. It is Thursday, May, I don't know, what is it? 8th. Yeah, Thursday, May 8th. It's good to be with you today. That is not our new morning countdown music. The person who's doing that for us is still working on it, but I could not sit here in silence as that countdown happened anymore. So I thought, well, you know, we're going to put something in temporarily just to cover it until we get something official made for our good morning countdown. Well, I hope you are having a good morning. As we always say on here, if not, that's why you're here. We want to help you have a good morning by encouraging your faith and strengthening your spirit and fixing your eyes, turning your eyes back on to Jesus, because any morning with Jesus is always a good morning, right? I'm having a good morning because I don't know if anybody else is like me, but I get excited over the strangest, dumbest things sometimes. But all right, long story. I'll try to make it short as I can. I have for years had the little on the back of my phone pop it thing, you know, that helps you hold your phone. And I have tried over the years, because, you know, they break, they come off, to just go back to without the pop-it thing. But man, once you've had that for years, it's hard to adjust. But I knew phones have this new MagSafe thing that, you know, you just connect it to it and it auto-charges it without the battery and or plugging it in and all that other jazz. And I was determined I'm going to get used to my phone without that pop-it thing. So I finally did. And this morning I got, right, it came in the mail this morning, but a new holder for my phone in my truck, because my truck didn't have the air vents right there to plug the old holder in it. Anyway, it's beautiful and I love it. I love that I can just get in and magnetically put the phone there and it charges it and it holds it there and it's great. So I know that doesn't mean anything to a lot of you, but I'm a gadget geek. So for me, I was pretty excited about that. And so yeah, my new phone holder and charger in the truck, help me have a good morning. So anyway, hopefully you're having a good morning. Chat in, let us know where you're watching from as we continue to build this online community. It has been so amazing of what God has done and watching it happen. And man, it's just been incredible. So chat in, let us know where you're watching from. Good morning, my friend Cheryl. Good to see you. Good to be with you today. Share this live if you're on a platform that you can do that. I know many of you watch this on platforms that you can't comment in or share, but that's all right. We appreciate you being here and joining us today. Well, we have been on a journey this week, getting free from approval addiction, getting free from approval addiction. And this has been so good. I've been hearing just conversations with some of you, getting some emails into the church and you know, about how this series right here has been impacting your life and encouraging you and helping you get free. And I'm always glad about that because that's our goal. So what we've been looking at is how our drive or our need for approval, the feeling of addiction that comes along often with that. It's as you know, when somebody approves of you, you get a high, you feel accepted, you feel welcomed, you feel celebrated. And of course, all of those are good feelings and we crave that and we want that. But often, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves compromising who we are, who we were created to be, our God-given DNA, our uniqueness, his fingerprint on us, if you will. Just in an effort to appease somebody else's opinion of what they think we should be. And whenever we do that, it always leads to some essence of compromise in our life. We will be hesitant to make decisions. We'll be hesitant to move forward in confidence. We will oftentimes, you know, disobey what we would know or believe to be the will of God for our lives, because somebody else has a comment or thought about it. And so we're learning to get free from that. We're learning to live for an audience of one and one alone, which means that we look to the Father, we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we say, Lord, as long as you are pleased with us, as long as you look at our lives and our decisions and are pleased, then that's all that matters. And that's what we hang our hat on at the end of the day. However, often these patterns or these cycles of needing the approval of other people is so embedded into us that it can often be very, very difficult to come out of that, to come out from under that, and stand in just confidence that you know who you are and confidence. And many of us haven't even discovered who we are. Like, right, we have been so masked, trying to live under the opinions of other people for so long, maybe, you know, from our childhood, what our parents put on us or our teachers or somebody, all through our lives, that we really don't have a good grip on who we really are. Because for so long, we've been living under a mask of trying to appease other people. And I'm hoping, I do not pretend to think that in one live stream or even 1 week's worth of live streams can help, can completely unearth many times what has been there for decades or years. But I'm hoping and I am praying that this series of live streams will help you start to unearth, if you will, where you've been stuck and how you've been masked, and start to realize those patterns in your life that maybe have caused you to lose grip of who you are and lose grip of your identity, and maybe start you on a journey that only with the help of the Holy Spirit can you unearth, right? We've talked about this before, but the women's group here at Hope City brought in a teaching that says, unbecoming me. And I absolutely love that. And I think we need to dive into that more in church through a series at some point. But it talked about sometimes in life, it's not about becoming something where I'm becoming this. And often it's unbecoming all of the things that we've put on ourselves and other people have put on us that stop us from being authentically who God's created us to be. So often the journey for many people is not to become, but the journey is to unbecome those lies, those, things that were spoken over you, those generational curses, those regrets that you've let weigh you down, unbecoming all of that stuff so that you can really step into and walk into and be all that God has created and destined and designed for you to be. So again, I do not pretend to think that all of that is going to happen, in one live feed. But my prayer is that this would start you on that journey to freedom, to finding out who you are, to find out how God created you, to find out the unique DNA that He's put on the inside of you, and that you would be able to discover God's purpose and plan for your life. And that's what I'm believing. So let's hop into the word. Hey, good morning, Tracy. Good to see you. Good to be on with you today. So just a little review so far as we have been looking at freedom from addiction, approval or affirmation, however you want to terminize it. But we have looked at day one. We exposed approval addiction and what it can look like and how it plays out in our lives. Number two, we diagnose the symptoms. We looked at some things that are symptoms if you are a people pleaser, if you are somebody who has a hard time saying no, somebody who is living always for the acceptance of other people. We diagnosed a little bit of that on Tuesday. And then yesterday, we counted the cost. We looked at what will it cost us if we do not get free. And man, I keep studying, I keep rereading, I keep rereading. I look at it again, the story of Saul, because I never saw that in there before we started this series. But really the root of Saul's problems came down to his need for approval from man, that he lived his life worried about the opinions of other people. And as a result of that, he disobeyed the voice of God. And he said it himself. He said, because I was afraid of their voices. I didn't do what God had asked me to do. And as a result of that, he lost his relationship with God. He lost his relationship with his son. He lost his kingdom. And in the end, he ended up losing his life, all because he was more concerned about the opinions of people than walking into what God had called him to. So we looked at the cost, because it is a high cost. And I just encourage you, you know, really look at this in your life. Take this seriously, because to not get freedom in this, I will say to you, it will be almost impossible for you to fully live out the will of God for your life. Fully live it out. What do I mean by that? I mean, you can, there's some things, yep, that, you know, the grace of God, the call of God, it's there. But to stand before him, to leave this earth and God say, you fulfilled everything that I asked you. You hit the mark. If you are living under the weight and under the burden of needing the affirmation or approval of people, pleasing people, then it is impossible to completely fulfill the will of God. Because anytime we step into fulfilling the will of God and we make that our aim, is always going to ruffle feathers. It's always going to go against the grain of society and what the status quo is. And it's going to require us to put faith in God and God alone. And if you're more worried about people, then you will not be able to do that. So count the cost of living that way, because it's serious. So today, we're moving on. We're going to look at how we receive the cure of all of this, right? And this is not, listen, this is not a seven-step self-help plan, right? This is not me offering you a personality upgrade. This is not, as sometimes it feels like it, at least for me, it's not a therapy session, but it is a truth encounter with the God who has already approved of us. Come on, we've talked about that a little bit. You do not have to work for God's approval. If you are in Christ, you are already approved. Come on, you are already approved. Let me read this to you in Colossians 1, 21. This is in the NLT version. It says this: this includes you who were once far from God, right? That's where we were. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. Now, as a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Man, that there's a lot packed into that scripture. You were once far off, now you were brought near. You were an enemy, now you are reconciled. You were guilty, but now you stand without a single fault. Just say this out loud to yourself, wherever you are: I am holy, blameless, and fully accepted by God. I am holy, I am blameless, and I am fully accepted by God. Come on, when you get this, it will free you. I am holy. I don't care about what you did yesterday. Come on, we walk under the blood of Jesus. I am blameless. I don't care what they said about you. We walk under the blood of Jesus, and I am fully accepted by God. Why? That verse said it right there in Colossians. Yet now he has reconciled you unto himself. How? Through the blood of, or through the death of Christ in his physical body. It was Christ's death on the cross that made you holy, blameless, and fully accepted by God. So you didn't get into this thing by your works. Come on. Your works never got you in Christ's good graces. It's not like God looked down from heaven and was like, oh, wow, you know what? They do a really good job, man. They are bringing some perfection to the table. Let me have a relationship with them. You couldn't get in that way. Come on. You got in because Christ shed his blood, and his work has made you holy, blameless, and fully accepted by God. So if God has accepted you, if God has called you clean, I preach this all the time, but you know, when I think it was Peter who had that vision of the cloth with the animals on it, and God told him to eat. And he said, "Not so, Lord, these animals are unclean." And God looked at him and said, "Don't you ever call unclean what I have called clean." What is he saying? That the fact of the matter is, under the law, they were unclean. But just because God called them clean, that made them clean, right? So the fact of the matter is, you still have imperfections. You still mess up. You still have errors in your personality. You still have, you know, places to grow into, right? But the fact of the matter is, because of the cross of Jesus, he has called you holy, blameless, and fully accepted by God. And don't you dare, just like he told Peter in that vision, don't you ever call unclean what I have called clean. And let me just say this to you, don't you ever call yourself unaccepted when Christ called you accepted. Don't you ever call yourself a reject or less than when Christ has called you accepted. And when God has called you accepted, what more can man offer? It's like, well, yeah, God accepted it, but you know what? I'll put my mark of approval on it, right? It's like, just like me, you know, looking at the universe and saying, well, you know what? I think God did a good job, but you know, now that I have reviewed it, God, I'll say it's good. Like little old me, I'm just a part of his creation. I have nothing to offer on the scale of creation and what God has designed and done. My approval, my little, you know, it means nothing. And so when somebody stands in front of you and says you are rejected, or they walk away, or they you know, try to put you in a box, or they try to you know, make you fit into to some pattern that they want you in, God has already called you accepted. What more can they offer, right? That's why I believe that as Christians, we need to square our shoulders, right? Hold our head up high, not out of spirit of pride, not out of saying, well, I'm better than you. No, not at all, because it's not by works. We didn't get into this thing, but we square our shoulders and we hold our head up high because Christ called us redeemed. He called us holy. He calls us a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, called to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Right? So what do? We walk into that room. We walk into that space. That's right, Tanisha. We rebuke that shrinking back spirit. We don't shrink back. We don't hang our head down. We walk in and we know exactly who we are because we know whose we are. So when I walk in for the job interview, listen, I walk in with my head held high and my shoulders squared. I may not have all the education, you know, that somebody else interviewing after me does, but here's the fact of the matter. I don't need everybody to like me. I need God to like me. So if God opens this door, there's not one person in that room, that interview room, that can close the door. Come on. And if God says, no, I don't want you to have this job. That's where I've been talking about. We got to get good with rejection, because they might say no and offer the job to somebody else. And then you walk down and saying, see, I'm good for nothing. I'm worthless. I don't have anything to offer. I'm broken. Nobody value. No. God closed the door because he looked at you and said, that job is not a part of your assignment. I've got something different for you. So you just hold on. I'm going to open the door. You just stand in faith. So we got to get good at just brushing off rejection, brushing off. Hey, you know what? They closed the door. They canceled the contract. They walked away. That's all right. That's all right. You know, even for Pioneer, I was here in the office one day and FedEx knocks on the door, and there was a platform that we put our channel and we streamed to. And we got a FedEx from them saying that they were canceling our carriage agreement with them, which means they would no longer be carrying our channel. And I remember I was floored. I was thinking, I don't know what's going on. I'm reaching out to them, trying to figure it out. And at the end of the day, it wasn't anything personal with us. It was they were moving into more a different language for broadcasting, and we broadcast English, so it wasn't even personal. But I remember that day before I knew all of that going through, like, yeah, man, I mean, seems, you know, they dropped us. It's not going to work. It's, you know, I don't know what we're doing. Should we just close the whole thing up? You know, whatever. The next week is when God opened the three new platforms that were all triple, if not quadruple, the amount of people that were on the platform that we lost. And it was like, man, God, you know, I wasted a whole day feeling down in the dumps, thinking, you know, should we just close it up? I mean, what's God doing? I don't see his hand. What's happening? And God just said, listen, brother, I got to move that thing out of your way because I have something greater in store that's going to increase your platform to more people than you could ever have imagined. And I'm saying, I'm just trying to get to a space in my life where I'm not wasting days, down days, because, well, somebody left, somebody quit, you know, working for the ministry, somebody quit their job, somebody left the church, somebody canceled their subscription, you know, whatever. It's all right, we're going to brush that off. We're going to brush that off. Somebody stopped returning your text messages or left you unread on Instagram. Brush that off. Don't beg people to celebrate you or accept you. You walk around with your head held high and your shoulders squared because Christ accepts you fully. He sent his son to die, to bleed, to go into the ground and rise again just so he could have restored relationship with you. And you think, you know, Peggy from, you know, next town over didn't call you back and now your whole identity is shot because of that? When the God of the universe looked at you and said, they are worth it. Come on. You're going to hold your head up high today. You're going to walk around. People are going to say, what happened to them? I'm learning who I am. I'm unbecoming everything else that was put on me by this world, unbecoming every lie that I thought about myself, unbecoming all of the, you know, the things that were spoken over my life, the generational things, the things that I opened the door to. I'm unbecoming all of that. And I'm starting to walk into the fullness of who I really am and what God has called me to be. And not everybody's going to like it, and it's going to ruffle some feathers. People don't like confidence. They like you to be less than and shielded back. But come on, that's not who we are. We are called to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness. Come on. So, all right. Sorry, I got preaching there, but come on. It's good. So the cure for feeling that need or that drive to be accepted by people is we have to move from earning to receiving. One of the hardest shifts for an approval addict is to stop earning love and start receiving grace. Come on, this is hard for people. Stop feeling like you have to earn love and start receiving grace. I wish I had the time, and at some point we will. We're going to a whole month of just talking about the grace of God, right? But we are conditioned to believe that if I perform well, I'll be loved. I'll be loved if, you know, I get the good grades. I'll be loved if I bring in the money. I'll be loved if I make people feel a certain way. Then I'll be loved. We are conditioned to believe that if I look good and sound right and please people, then I'll be worthy. But grace destroys performance-based living. I'm going to say that again. Grace destroys performance-based living. Why? Because grace says you are loved because Jesus was perfect, not because you are perfect. Pause right there. Grace says you are loved because Jesus was perfect, not because you were perfect. Listen to Ephesians 1:6 says this. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. That word accepted in the Greek means graced or highly favored. So listen, you are not tolerated by God, right? You are not tolerated. It's not like you're the black sheep of the kingdom of God and God's just tolerating you. No, no, no. You're not tolerated by God. You are highly favored and accepted by God and brought into his fold. So why is believing this so hard? Why is this truth? Why does it often feel so unnatural to so many people? Well, often it's because we were raised in performance-driven homes. And not everybody. We all can struggle with this because of different entrances into our lives. But for a lot of people, it's because we were raised in performance-driven homes. And let me just say, I'm not, you know, here to bash parents and say, oh, it's all my parents' fault. I mean, at some point, we got to take responsibility for our own lives and say, you know what? You know, maybe my parents didn't get it all right, but I'm a full-grown person that can control my own emotions and get my own self healthy. So I need to stop, you know. And let me say this, and I think most parents, right, most parents did the best that they could with the information that they had at hand. I am 100%. I mean, most days I'm having interactions with my children. I'm saying, God, please pray that this was the right response. Please, God, please. I want to do well by my kids. I want to raise healthy, strong, God-fearing, Bible-believing children. I don't want my children messed up, but I am sure somewhere along the way, they will be sitting there and say, you know what? I think this is my dad's fault. And it might be. And if you're watching this years down the road, I apologize. But I say this to say is you know, I'm not into like, well, let's go back to your childhood and blame your parents and, you know, again, most parents, and I know there's always exceptions to that rule or that story, did the best, and broken people break, you know, hurt people, broken people break people, but healed people heal people. So most of the time, this stuff goes back generations. You know, they are trying to bring you up the way that they were raised and they don't know any different. And it's, you know, so give some grace there. But a lot of times this gets into us because we were raised in performance-driven homes. Love was conditional. You be good and you'll be praised. You mess up, you get the silent treatment, you get ignored, you'll be cut out, all because you messed up, right? And then you add on top of that, you get into the religious circles, and religion says that you have to work for God's approval. Religion says, well, you got to try harder. Come on, force it. I did a message a while ago that the title was, you can't force fruit. You can go back and watch it. But it was all about that is like no tree stands there and goes, fruit, come. Like you can't force fruit. Fruit growing in the life of a tree is a byproduct of a healthy root system that it's receiving enough nutrients and life and sunshine. It's in the right environment. Its roots are going deep. That automatically fruit is just developing. And many people come into the kingdom of God and they say, I got to try harder. If I work harder, if I, you know, study harder, if I do more, then I'll develop fruit. Then I'll be more loving. Then I'll be more kind. Then I'll be accepted by God. Fruit is a byproduct. Holiness, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of that is a byproduct of a relationship fully developed and embedded with Jesus. Where I don't have to try to force fruit. No, I simply live my life with Jesus in relationship with him. I make sure my roots are deep. I make sure I'm in healthy environments. Make sure I'm with the people of God. And as a byproduct, healthy fruit will begin to blossom in my life. And it's not because I'm trying, but religion says, try, do more, act holy, even if you know, if there's no, just put on an act, let us all believe it. But the reality is God sees way beyond your mask, way beyond the act, and it doesn't fool him. And then you add on top of how we were raised, you add on top of that religion, then you look at a culture who says to us, you're only as good as your likes, as your followers, as large as your social platforms is. That is the sum of who you are. And it's no wonder that people, it's no wonder we get messed up. It's no wonder that we end up becoming addicted to people's approval, because all of these things have conditioned us. But listen, in the kingdom of God, approval comes before performance. Not performance, then approval. Listen, Matthew 3:17. Jesus heard, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." If you remember when Jesus was baptized and the Spirit of God, the heavens opened and the Spirit of God descended, and that voice spoke over Jesus that, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." He heard this before he ever performed a single miracle. Before he had raised Lazarus, before he had opened blinded eyes, before he had healed Jairus's daughter, before he had done the miracle with the loaves and fishes, before he turned the water into wine, before any of it happened, he heard the voice of his Father from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Why was that so important? God wanted his son to know that, "I love you not because you will raise the dead. I love you not because you will go to the cross and pay the price for all humanity. I love you not because you will defeat death, hell, and the grave forever. I love you because you are my son. You are my daughter, and that is why I love you." God was letting you know, and letting all of us know, that your identity is not in what you do, it's in whose you are. Your identity is never grounded in what you do, it's in whose you are. And that's why God would say this to his son. Or anything else, son, daughter, he wants you to know today that he loves you not because of what you've done or what you can do or any ounce of your performance. He loves you because you're his son. You are his daughter. You are his beloved. You are the apple of his eye. You are his creation. You are his masterpiece. In all of his creations, if you look at the fingerprint, even alone, and how there's not one in human history and in all the world that has the same fingerprint as you, it just testifies to God's masterpiece of who you are, that he looks at you and he says, "There is not another one that I have made that is like you." And he loves you, and he accepts you, and he calls you righteous, and he calls you holy because of what his son did at the cross, not because of what you can do. Nothing can change God's mind about you. That very famous scripture in Romans 8 that says, "I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Can death or angels or fear or worry or powers of hell, can any of that separate us from God's love?" Absolutely not, right? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not your fear, not your past, not your shame, and not other people's rejection. God's, and what the scripture really says is, God's approval of you is not fragile. God doesn't follow the crowd. It's not that, like, God says, "Hey, you are approved. But, you know, suddenly next week somebody cancels you or blocks you on social media," and God's like, Well, now if they're not approving, I don't know. I got to reevaluate my stance on you." Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Like, do you think that God's approval of us is that fragile, that because somebody else rejected us, God's like, "I don't know. I don't know. I might have to reconsider my relationship. I might have to reconsider your standing with me." Please. God's approval is not fragile. Why? Because it's rooted in the cross. It's rooted into what his son died to give you. So we often quote that phrase that we fight from victory, not for victory. And that's powerful phrasing, because it teaches us to consider our positioning when we're fighting for victory in our life. It's not that we are the defeated trying to win. We are already the winners through Christ that are fighting to maintain the victory. Like if you ever played that game, King of the Hill as a kid, you know, where one person's at the top of the hill and everybody else comes up and you got to push them down and you win as long as you can stay up there, right? That's in essence is we are already planted in victory and the enemy sends all these things to try to knock us off the hill. And we the battle is not to get up the hill. We're already there. And so I say that to say is just as we don't fight for victory, we fight from the position of victory. We don't live for approval. We live from approval. I am already approved, already accepted, already celebrated by God, already have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm approved. So I don't live my life hustling for attention from other people. I stop the compromising of who I am and what God's called me to do to fit in with another group of people. Why? Because I'm already approved. I'm not fighting to get approved. I'm already approved. I stop the need, feeling the need to have everybody agree with me. Come on, we can preach right there. The overwhelming need to have people agree with you. Listen, I told you the other day on the live, I went home and told Sarah, I said, yeah, I brought up this thing on the live and it went complete silence and nobody commented anything. So I probably shouldn't have mentioned it. And she laughed and said, would you quit saying stupid stuff? And I said, I'll try. But, but I laughed because I've been really invested. I am a true crimer. I like watching true crime documentaries and getting into the whole thing. Love it. And so I've been really, really invested right now into this Karen Reed trial that's going on in Massachusetts. And anyway, so I had happened to mention it to somebody the other day, and they were on the whole separate opinion of what really happened it's going on with that trial and what really happened that day. And I felt this overwhelming, I have to have you see my side. I have to have you see my point. You can't leave. And I just had to come to that grace of, listen, we're not going to agree on this. And, but I say that just because how many times do we waste energy? And I know this is a stupid, thing, but I just, how many times do we waste life and energy trying to convince people to agree with us or to see us how God sees us? Again, if people can't see you how God sees you, that's not a you issue. That's a them issue. Like if I look at people and I see, I look at their bank account, so they're nothing to me. They don't make good money. Or I look at their social status and, oh, they're nothing. They don't even have many followers. However, if that's how I'm looking at people, that's my problem. Because that's certainly not how God sees people. God, the Bible says, he doesn't look at the outward appearance of man at all. He looks at the condition of the heart, right? So it's not, their worth isn't based off of my viewership. Their worth is based off of their creator, their designer. So how, if I'm framing them in a box, that's not a them problem, that's a me problem. So if people are looking at you they're rejecting you, they're talking bad about you, whatever. Again, you got to just say, you know what? Life is too valuable. I'm not wasting breath trying to convince you to have the heart of God, because only God can do that. Only God can change the condition of your heart. Only God can heal the wounds that are inside another person that's causing them to live out of brokenness, that's causing them to live out of rejection in their own selves. So what do? They reject other people. All that I can do is love you with the love of Christ and see that person as God sees that person. Come on, this will change some things. Maybe they reject you, but you know what? Because I have the love of God, I can pray for the person who rejected me because I know that how they are acting is not their value. How they are acting is out of brokenness within their own selves. So what is my response going to be? I'm going to love them with the love of Christ. I'm not going to talk bad about them. I'm not going to make life hard for them. I'm not going to try to get vengeance. Why? Because they are broken and they just need the healing and love of God. But what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to waste my breath, time, and energy and waste days of my life trying to get you the heart of God. Because if you don't want to receive from God, even God himself can't force a person and won't force a person to accept him and change their patterns. He stands at the door and knocks, but they got to open the thing, right? So if even God himself says, listen, if I can only give it to them if they want, what do you think? I'm going to be down here able to convince them? So no, what am I going to do? I'm going to wash my hands. I'm going to say, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to love them. That's all right. That's right, Tanisha. It's a distraction. It's a waste of time. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to honor them the best that I can honor them. But I'm not going to waste my life and my breath and my God-given time on this earth convincing people to like me. I will not do it. Why? Because I don't need to perform to be loved. I'm already loved. I perform because I'm loved. You see that? I perform because I love. I serve God because I'm loved. I'm generous. Why? Because not to try to earn God's favor. I'm generous because I'm overwhelmed with his generosity and love towards me that it's like, what else can I do but just give it out, right? So I stop hustling for attention. I stop compromising to fit in. I stop needing everyone to agree with me. At some point, you just say, it's fine. We do not have to agree. And you walk away. 2 Corinthians 5:9. So whether we are at home or away, we make our aim to please God. Again, we do not live for man's applause. We live for God's well done. Well done. Yeah, Cheryl, there is a song that talks about, I'm already loved. I'm already chosen. That's right. I forget. I think it's by Maverick City. But so, here's your invitation today. If you've lived exhausted from trying to please people, if you have shaped your life around gaining acceptance, if you've been holding your breath waiting for someone to validate you, here's your permission slip today. Ready? You can rest. Because God has already said yes to you in Christ. He's already said yes to you. You are already loved. You are already accepted. You are already chosen. You are already his beloved. He already went to the cross and paid the price for you. And not one opinion of another person can ever change that value. Yeah, I know we've heard this illustrated, but I think it's so powerful. Like if you take a $100 bill and you crumble it up and you throw it into the dirt and you step on it and you spit on it, most of the time you still offer that $100 bill to somebody. They're going to say, yeah, I'll still take it. Why? Because the value of the bill was not determined by the person who discarded it, however you say it. The value of the bill was not determined by the person who spit on it or threw it aside. The value of the bill was determined by somebody higher, was determined by the federal government that says that bill has a value of $100, which is its weight in gold, right? Like, so whatever you do to it, it doesn't change its value. Why? Because the value was set by the U.S. Department of Treasury. I don't know who sets it, but somebody greater than the one who spit on it, right? And this world may have spit on you. They may have thrown you to the side. They may have rejected you. They may have told you you would never succeed or mount up. But listen, your value was not set by them. It was set long before them by somebody higher. Don't you ever allow somebody else to come in and try to undervalue what God has already put a price tag on. And he put a price tag on you. You have a value. And that price tag was the life of his son. That was his price tag. So don't you ever let somebody else say anything different about you, because that was the price. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person today who has felt less than, felt undervalued, felt rejected. Maybe the world has come in and they have been like that $100 bill, spit on and tossed aside and rejected by the world and stomped on and thrown into the mud and made to feel insignificant and less than. And maybe they have felt that and they have lived under that, that they will never be enough, that they will never have value. But Father, I thank you today in the name of Jesus that you are changing that mentality. And you are letting us know and letting us see today that yes, we have a price tag on us. We have a price point. And you displayed that price point for all the world to see when your son hung on the cross. You said the price for us, our value, would be you pulling yourself apart and sending yourself, leaving the throne of heaven and sending yourself down to this people planet in the form of a son, hanging on a cross, beaten, bleeding, and dying, giving up his life so that we could be purchased with his blood. And nothing and no one, no person, no teacher, no parent, no pastor, no sister, no brother, no denomination, nothing can change that price tag. So help us today to do that. I said, hold our head up high and square our shoulders, because I'm bought with a price. I know my worth and I know my value because of the work of the cross. In Jesus' mighty name, yes and amen. Yes and amen. I trust that blessed you today. I know it encouraged me. Sometimes I leave these lives or these broadcasts and I think, man, was that God just speaking directly to me? And I think sometimes it is. As I'm sharing with you, he's talking back to me. Yeah, Tanisha says that song is called Jaira, but from Maverick City. You're already loved. You're already chosen, already accepted. Good song to listen to today to just drive this in. Now, I do not want you to miss tomorrow. I don't want you to miss tomorrow, because tomorrow I'm flipping the script on this a little bit. And I've been waiting. I've been wanting to get into this every day a little bit. And I thought, no, we're going to wait. We're going to wait till Friday. And I'm going to wrap up the week talking about this. And I'm not going to let you know what it is, but it's going to be good. So be back on here tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. It's going to bless your life. And don't forget, I sent out an email yesterday from the church announcing all of the events. And I forgot to announce that this Saturday at 10 a.m. is our ladies' breakfast. So I think we have it on the website to register, but if it's not there, don't worry about it. We hope to see you there. This Saturday at 10 a.m. is the ladies' breakfast here at Hope City Church. And I think it's an important one. I think they're exchanging all of their secret sister stuff, so you don't want to miss it. You want to be a part of this. So anyway, I'll see you tomorrow morning. And if you're a lady, we hope to see you as well this Saturday at 10 a.m. at Hope City Church. Amen. Be blessed. Go with God and have an amazing day.